heard that God will give you good things, and there's certain things that they want. Some people are just religious, and they go to church because people do that, makes them feel good about themselves. So when we use that shorthand description, he has a heart for God, what we mean is God has given that person a heart for himself. Now, you won't have it without God giving it to you. You can't fix your heart. God formed it. He fashioned it, the scripture said. It's his heart, and he's the only one that knows how a heart works. You know, in the scripture, it is replete with statements about the heart. My son, give me thine heart. The Lord looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. David was a man after God's own heart. And Jesus even said, if you look on a woman to commit adultery, you've already sinned in your heart. That an inward lust is a heart issue. Hey, it doesn't mean we'll never be tempted in these things. But that's what the blood of Jesus is for. That's what it's about. I have been touched in my own heart by something recently that I read and saw from Roland Baker. Heidi Baker will be here on September the 10th. Roland and Heidi have done, I don't even know how to say it, at least one of the most amazing and great mission works that have ever been done. In raising up in 10 years, 9,000 churches. And that spirit-filled churches with children on fire for God, seeking his face and telling others about Jesus. And miracles are happening regularly. And saints, we have a problem in understanding about miracles. And Roland and Heidi help us understand. Because they have a key that has been missed for years. And it used to trouble me a lot until I began to understand where the power of miracles is. Sometimes I would see as I came in through the charismatic movement, and sometimes I saw people that seemed so brassy. If you had faith, you wouldn't be in a wheelchair. Junk like that. I've seen people so harsh, and yet sometimes there would be miracles in spite of their harshness. And that was confusing to me. And I said, Lord, where do people get the kind of faith where miracles flow, where does the power come from that produces your miracles? Because the scripture says also there are false miracles. Now I want you to listen very carefully right here. Is everybody listening carefully to me? I want you to know I'm reading a little bit directly from Roland Baker, but I want you to listen to every word because it's going to be instruction for us today. I'm not sermonizing. I'm telling you something that'll change your life and put you in a place where the stress of trying to do right, accomplish something, find God, all that can be gone. Who wants that today? Here we go. Roland Baker said, we are often asked, what are the keys to staying motivated and enduring the great pressures in our ministry? We don't think in terms, he said, of keys or secrets, but of the simplest truths of the gospel. We have learned from experience that there is no way forward when pressed to our extremities but to sacrifice ourselves at every turn for his sake. Knowing nothing but Jesus and him crucified, we must die to live. It is better to give than to receive. It may not feel better. He just said it is better. And better to love than to be loved. And that may not feel better either. I tell you what. When that Debbie puts those sweet, powerful hands on me and gives me a massage, I like that feeling better than not having it. So you don't always feel so good about what God says is better. 2 Corinthians 16 and 9 says, this is Paul saying what people go through when they minister. We'd all like to have a ministry, but can we go through the things? We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happens that we might not rely on ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And 2 Corinthians 47 says, 47. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way. Now, I want to serve God without affliction. We're afflicted in every way. Hattie Baker said to me, Sue, it's not fun when your husband loses his mind. It's not fun when you're afraid the children are going to starve if food doesn't rain down from heaven and you want to reach what there is to feed them. She named to me a number of things. She said, it's not fun. Here's what she said to me about my own healing. She said, you've got to continue your ministry until your healing is totally manifest. And that's like playing basketball with boxing gloves on. I'd rather minister unhindered. Right? So that the power may be of God. Judson Cornwell had a message or a book called This Treasure in a Styrofoam Cup. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Just touched on a very deep concept we're not going on to go into detail about, but filling up that which is left of the dying of the Lord Jesus in our bodies is a deep concept. So what does motivate us to keep doing, now I'm reading from Roland, what motivates us to keep doing what puts energy into our spirits? I don't like it when I hear somebody say, I feel so dead. We can't live that way. We got into a stressful situation on this last trip. Oh, it was on the flight coming back. You know, the sardines in the can at least eventually get out. And it's so tight. There was so much noise on the flight coming back. There was a woman with two children that had never understood what it was to be happy or be disciplined or anything. And I said, Joan, give me that book I brought. It's got 3 pages of scripture in the back. I'm going to read those scriptures. I need to remember the Word of God. Oh, and it just is a thing, man. You just get depleted sometimes, right? How do we keep doing what puts energy into our spirits when we run out of answers and resources? How do we stay patient and upbeat when the outlook seems bleak? Yet again, where does our power to live, serve, and give come from? The question is important because missionaries do get tired, discouraged, and down. Christians of all kinds run out of motivation. Hello? No matter how much they have leaders with huge responsibilities, they lose their peace and joy because it has just become more like business. And preachers become more like sales managers. But what makes the kingdom run? What is the fuel that fires this effort? What is the fuel that fires this effort? Reading, quoting him, every day we find out more the answers to these most fundamental questions. and learn that what used to motivate us no longer is enough. Did you hear that? Charles Spurgeon had a message called The Middle Mile, in which he said, that's the big hump you've got to get over. What used to motivate us is no longer enough. We're going higher, pressing on to what lies ahead. And we keep learning Jesus is not interested in what we used to pursue. Did anybody hear that? Jesus is not interested in what we used to pursue. Every little thing we needed for our little selves to always be comfortable in our little bodies. And we learned, listen to this, we learned that unless Jesus is interested in what we are pursuing, the going gets tougher than we can bear. So he said, relationship is the motivator. There's a secret place, a hiding place, a lower place, the only place that exceeds all our dreams. It is not found in anything external and impersonal. It is not found in activity or inactivity. Our sacrifice and dedication is not found in goals, projects, productions, and progress. That's fleeting. We feel good about it. We feel good about ourselves for a little while. Then we go to bed at night and the room is dark. And we wonder, why am I doing all this? Listen, quoting him, it is not found in finances and growth. It may be missed entirely even when preaching, teaching, training, and discipling. It may be forgotten completely when evangelizing and praying for the sick. The greatest and most powerful gifts don't necessarily contain it. The motivation is what we're talking about. The it. Even ministry to the poor may become an impersonal effort. The greatest and most intensely motivation creation of God, that supreme display of His glory, is relationship with Him. It is the only thing that fuels us and keeps us from getting crankified rather than sanctified. Do you ever get sick and tired of being so much better than everybody else? In the very early days of my ministry, even before Shekinah, when I was having classes in Mayfair Methodist Church, I taught the Song of Solomon. I started out crazy. I discovered something. Now, it was embryonic. It was not at all perfected. Now I think I might have discovered some more of it. And so I taught these people who absolutely loved it. Sitting in that Methodist fellowship hall, 50 people. Jane came and kept the children so the women could come and hear me teach the Song of Solomon. Judy led them in worship so they'd know we'd had a wonderful service. And I said to them, there was a cry in the heart of the Shulamite. And she's a type of the bride, not the people that go to church. She's a type of the bride, the ones that are after His heart. Come on. And she realizes one day that she's doing all this work for Him, but she doesn't know Him. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, the other religious people that don't understand what is wrong with us that are after God. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, and I did all the work here in the church. But my own vineyards have I not kept, that which is life and growing and produces fruit in me. I haven't kept that because I was too busy doing the church thing. Then she says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turns aside by the flocks of thy companion? The cry of the heart is met in the Song of Solomon. Relationship is the result. The fruit is abundant. In other words, Heidi has this message, all power, all fruitfulness comes out of relationship. Oh, I've seen people that can get a lot of people saved that don't have a relationship with God. But we're talking about fruitfulness. We're not just talking about people walking aisles and saying things and signing cards. Jesus wants people to love Him. And they go into the fields together. This is the only way we can be missionaries. By the way, we're making plans to go to Mozambique. And we're making plans to have a project with them, build something that can be remembered there. I'm excited about that. We can't go into any fields together without Him, because He has to invite us. Come, let us go into the villages and into the vineyards and see if the tender grape appear, and there I will give thee my loves. I want to minister to the tender grape. I've been preaching in America to an awful lot of hard-headed grapes. Gospel hardened know-it-all grapes. Oh yeah, we know that. I had a person once tell me, I don't need to come to church. I've heard all that stuff. I've heard it all too. That's why I listen to messages all the time. I want to hear it over and over again. Love is a gift of relationship, not just sacrificing ourselves. Come on now. It's not just about working for Him. Hey, look, I don't work for John. We have a relationship. I work with Him. We work together. If I worked for you, I wish you'd pay me better, hon. The secret place is not necessarily found in prayer. Now listen to me. Prayer meetings. Prayer closets. Soaking. Battling for a just cause. Or even in massive prayers and fasting efforts. Not relationship. Even the most amazing miracles can leave us lonely. And you don't... Well, listen. From time to time, I don't understand it. I've been ministering and unusual miracles and things have happened. I've shared with you some of it. And even in the midst of the river movement, It went on for quite a while. And I felt that anointing of the Holy Spirit like electricity. And when I prayed for people, they felt it. And good things happened. Really good things happened. But in the midst of that, I said, Lord, I don't want to do anything that's not of You. And I don't want people to push me into causing this thing to go on longer than You want it to go on. If you're not in this thing, I don't care how much people fall and how exciting it is. I don't want to do it if you're not doing it. That's the only way I could cover myself and be safe. Even the most amazing miracles can leave us lonely and without relationship. I got tired the night I prayed for close to 700 people up in Blue Mountain. I thought I was going to croak after it was over. I couldn't find a place on my body that didn't ache. They really got blessed. I just got blessed by seeing that they got blessed, but it wasn't a blessing in me, if you can understand what I mean. We can run out of motivation advancing the most noble ideals and working at all levels to transform society. Come on. Oh, we're going to change our city. Blah, blah. You know, maybe you could somewhat, but what if you didn't have Him? Does your city need to be changed, or do they need Jesus? We got to change Him by Jesus. We can minister until we have no more strength and still go home and be in bed feeling empty and alone without the relationship which our hearts are made for. There is no pressure in genuine relationship. I've got to get this done. I've just got to. You know, I tell people regularly, just stay calm. Getting uptight is not going to make it happen any better. In fact, it'll probably make it worse. Plus, then it's going to chew on your body. Relax. If he didn't give you the strength and empowerment to do it, then I guess you weren't supposed to do it. There is no pressure in genuine relationship. When it turns into work, it's gone. Jane dropped by last night, and she was just sharing with me about the worship and what we're going to do today. And I could see she was energized by that. Isn't that great? That's because we're walking with Him. And we're walking, being led by the Spirit. And it's a thing that's going to bring people into His presence. We weren't trying to have a bang-out worship service today, whatever that is. Everybody's got a different opinion anyway. May as well please God, right? When it turns into work, it's gone and finished. It is effortless to maintain. It is not the goal of struggle with the fire. When the fire of life, it brings the most peace and washes away all tension. It is the point of living the substance of existence. This is a quote from him now. Relationship washes away all tension. It's the point of living. It is the substance of existence. It is the atmosphere of heaven. It motivates to heroic heights. You know why I found myself in the mission fields and other wild places? Thinking, what am I? Why did I? What in the world did I think I was doing? I got elevated and motivated to heroic heights by relationship with Him. I found myself there I was. Now I had to depend on Him for sure. Bringing out our best in relationship, we know we are alive and have arrived. We are satisfied. When we turn away from the relationship to pursue anything else, we lose. This is a message I wouldn't preach at the Methodist Church. You have to have some foundation to connect with what I'm talking about today. You have to have been a person that was seeking God and found out you can't do anything without Him. And you tried working without Him, and maybe it looked good and left you so empty. In relationship, we stay in our own private revival. So we don't pursue revival, but rather revival pursues us. And such church growth and miracles pursue as His presence pursues us, and then can keep us, nothing can keep us from relationship, because the blood of Jesus promises that we will never have condemnation or separation. I just feel so far from Him. Get covered by the blood. Repent of your sin. There's no reason in the world to feel far away from Him. In relationship, we stay in our own private revival. You know, in the first year, even before we got started building things, there was a woman named Lillian Bryant, and she's in Sandra Kennedy's church now. And she just came by and visited the church. I mean, this is before we had buildings and things. And she said, I felt the Lord wanted me to give you this book. It's all the things that I've studied that shows that serving God is about really knowing Him in heart reality and brokenness rather than reaching for miracles and the things that people are so often after. And she gave me that book and said, keep it as long as you want to. It was hers. I mean, things that she had put in the book. You see, He's looking at our heart. If we keep looking for something else, like what can we do, then what can He produce? We've got to keep looking for Him. Now, I love this scripture, Psalm 33, verse 14. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. In Psalm 33, He who fashions the heart of them understands all their work. You can't take your heart and just change it. It is not your creation. And you can't just fix it. It is God who fashions the heart. I tell you the truth, I'm really glad about that. Because I believe I'd turn my heart up so many notches it'd probably explode out my head. It's better have God deal with it a little at a time as we can handle it. He fashions the heart. So the psalmist said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How am I going to get this to happen? How am I going to open myself for this to happen? In other words, I can't do it. It's His work, and He has to keep on doing it if I keep on staying close to Him and keep staying motivated. People are amazed that this ministry has gone on now. We're in our 41st year. What fueled that? Oh, people always being so nice to you and helping you with everything. And not exactly. Well, if I find myself lacking and find myself in a state of inertia here, if I find myself really wishing my heart was on fire, the Scripture says be aglow. Be fervent with the Spirit of God. Well, maybe it is that I just need to get to a worship service. And worship is so wonderful. But let me ask you, what is worship? If you become enthralled with the sound of instruments and voices, is this worship? Or is this our personal emotions responding to what we like? Is that worship? Or is it totally yielding our heart to Him? Is that worship? It's so nice we have all these instruments. We have neat people who do these things for us to help us to worship. And I've worshiped in places where you don't have any of that. And if you can't worship without any of that, then you're not worshiping anyway. Now that makes worship wonderful. I believe in heaven they have instruments. And before Lucifer lost his job, he was leading the whole thing. If we ask, you know, what is the Lord after in worship? Luke 7, you know that scripture there with the woman who came with the box and poured it all out on Jesus' feet. Let me read it to you in this translation. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said, Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water because you had a lot of things you need to say to the person worshiping beside you. And to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears, which you don't seem to have any anymore because you're not concerned that your heart's not melted and broken. And wiped them with her hair, which you think is really out of order. And you didn't greet me with a kiss because that's too intimate. But from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. This woman is really over the top. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. So he says in verse 47, so I want to tell you this. Her sins, and they are many. If I were you, I'd worry more about not caring about God than I would about having some sins. Her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she's shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And maybe this is why you're not feeling close to Him. Have you repented lately? Have you let the Holy Spirit really show you? You know that I find from time to time when I share with someone an area that they might want to consider adjusting, the speech is already laid out ahead of time. No, I don't need to do that because of this. No, I've already done that. What's the matter with us? Why can't I just look for opportunities to repent? It makes me closer to God. I mean, I sometimes would say, Honey, I'm sorry that I gave you that short answer a while ago. I just was in a hurry. I didn't realize. Oh, that's okay, he says. We all do that. I'm talking about John now, not Jesus. And if I don't take the time to do that, how much harder does my heart grow? I just become a person that'll do it another because I learned how to do it the last time. The saints are mumbling about conviction, but let me tell you. Conviction. When I was a small child, I nearly drowned. And in later years, people wished I had. But I held on to a barnacle-encrusted pier till they came and got me. And my arms were hanging in shreds on the inside of my arms. I still have the scars from that. And I was just with my father, my sister, my father, and me. And he took peroxide and just poured it into those arms, and they went and fizzled up, and I went through the ceiling. Conviction is kind of like opening that up so the sin can fizzle out. And you can then clean it off and put an antiseptic on it and let there be healing. Come on, don't we want to be healed? We don't want to keep being sick, do we? The only way to get healed is to acknowledge, yeah, you know what, I'm wrong. And by the way, even for younger people, it doesn't matter who all else does this. If it's wrong, it is wrong. I said to my mother once, I had this aunt that I favored. I said, Mom, why is it that when she cusses, it doesn't sound so bad? It's when other people cuss. I asked my mother that question. She said, honey, it's all alike. Cussing is cussing. Now, I was raised in Southwest Virginia where people turn the air blue regularly. That was nothing new to me. What Jesus really wants, what he wants, he wants us to love him. Listen, the scripture says God is love. God is love. Now, why would he want a bunch of things done to show us how good we are at doing things when he gives us power? How's that going to satisfy him? That didn't satisfy him. What satisfies him is your love, your love. John Lake expressed about so many people, you know, he had such a great ministry, especially in South Africa. And in South Africa, so many people who experienced healing and miracles, but they didn't love him. And after that, he didn't know how to get people to love them. Even with these most amazing miracles, they still didn't love God. He said after they had these miracles, then they became interested in becoming structured and get out their whiteboards and set up organizations. I just wanted to keep them in Jesus. Then he said something, if Roland Baker has got it straight, it's very direct. He said, I wish I could get a meat cleaver after every person that's determined to organize everything. Well, yeah, that's real strong. I didn't like it either. But here's a strong man who could put his hand under the microscope, and if he had that plague on his hands, his body would eat up those germs, and they could see it. That's an unusual man. That's why he might say something so strong. I don't think you should go after people with meat cleavers, just to be clear. So Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, these what? I'm so glad he didn't say what it was. It could have been these people around here. It could have been these fishing nets, this business that we're all involved with. Even these things I'm teaching you right now. Do you love me more than anything? Well, you know what? We think we do because we trained ourselves that we should. But what is it when you go off on that little tear that is not what he wants for you? You don't love him more than that. I really want Jesus to know I love him, but I feel like I need to do this. And you don't have his permission to do it. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 63. When Jesus healed 10 lepers, he said, well, only one came back to thank me. Where are the 9? As he cares, all he cares about is relationship. If I can get you to believe this. This is what Roland Baker said. What does he know? I don't know. Just has miracles, raises the dead, raises up 9,000 churches in 10 years. He knows something about relationship with God. He said all God cares about is relationship. Because God is love, he is not an object. And he said, if you are not in love and in communication, pardon me, if you're not in love and in communion, you are dead, even if you are doing miracles. You cannot have love without having the life of God in your heart. Well, I'm almost finished. I know you'll be relieved. So, here's the last thought. What can I do? What can I do to maintain this heart of love? We do have a way. Hey, did you ever go to a prayer meeting and you didn't really want to go? Let me see your hands. I'm putting mine up. Too tired, too whatever, too beaten down by the devil, too discouraged. Two, the devil has lied to you. It doesn't make that much difference anyway. Two, it'd be good to be a part of one of these churches where you don't have to pray. And then what did you do? You went to that prayer meeting. And then what happened? You wondered why on earth you didn't want to come. Because he met you there. Because he met everybody that came, because two or three gathered in his name, and he said, I'll be there. And he wasn't really working with you where you were in all that unbelief and discouragement and selfishness and whatever kept you from being there. So how am I going to turn this thing around where my heart gets hardened and I get weary and discouraged and tired? Well, the scripture says that we should seek him continually. Seek the Lord continually. And that Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Why don't you just make a deal with yourself right now? I am not going to be turned over to a hardened heart. I'm going to seek God early. I'm going to come before him every day. I'm going to tell him I love him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to get into his word. I'm going to let him do that work in my heart. Because he fashioned it, he will fix it. I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know, we think we're so smart, but in California, they can't get enough water to even function. They're not allowed to wash their cars, water their lawns. Why? Because God's in charge of the water supply. And we think that we can do a whole lot of things without him. And we can do a certain number of things. But let me tell you, this one thing we cannot do is to keep ourselves in love with God. Draw me. We will run after thee. That's what the Shulamite learned. Draw me, we will run after thee. Julie's song that she wrote in revival, find me, Lord. As you search the earth for worshipers, find me. Spirit of the living God, fill me full until my Father's eyes find me. Don't you know this is spiritual work? Please quit trying to do it in your own effort. When Heidi comes, you know, one time that she came, she was a half hour late. No, she was an hour late, I guess it was. Because of something that happened. And then she said, "But you're almost through worshiping?" And I said, "Yes, but we can worship some more. Please, please, I can't minister unless we worship." So we worshiped another 30 minutes. And during the worship time, Heidi doesn't catch up. She doesn't make out her grocery list in her mind. She's not looking around to see who's worshiping the way they ought to be worshiping. See who's up here and doing what and where did they come from. And Heidi's into worshiping. Because she's learned this secret. If you want to know how people do absolutely extravagantly crazy spiritual things for God, I want you to know that it is by giving Him your heart every day of your life and continually seeking Him. You know, people into this thing of not thinking they need to go to church now. This is becoming very common. Oh, we meet at Starbucks and blah, blah. If we don't seek Him by every means we have, the hardness of our flesh is going to overtake us every time. Worship breaks us down. Worship breaks us open. That's why we value worship. It is our pathway to God. It is His pathway to us. And that's why we don't get in a hurry about it. That's why we're not putting it in such a way that somebody wants it this way or that way. We're just wanting to know, what does God want? So I want us to stand together. I want the musicians to come. And what we want to do this morning is ask the Lord if He'll just take us back from wherever we are now. Take us back to whatever place He needs to take us, to where He can create a right spirit in us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Draw me, we will run after Thee. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Lord, we cry out, we cry out, we cry out. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up, Lord, with Your oil and Your wine. We do get hard because life gets hard. We come to our wits' end. We have no place else to go. Thank You that we can run into Your name. We can run into Your name. We can surrender. We can say, I yield, I give up, I quit. I cannot look some way. I just am who I am, and I need You so much to make me who You want me to be for You. Lord, I just lay down every crown I think I might have ever gained. Like the elders are doing in heaven, I just cast every crown down before You. And I say, if I ever did accomplish anything, it's nothing unless Your heart is satisfied. Oh God, I want to come to You again and let You do a fresh work in my heart. Come on, if your heart's crying out for that, you want to just come and let's just stand around the altar a minute here. And the team's going to lead us just in a song that we can just give our hearts back to Him again. Come into that close communion with Him again. We can't do anything without Him. And we can't fix ourselves when we're broken. He's got to do all that for us.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Have mercy on me, oh God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, restore in me the joy of your salvation. And wash me white as snow, and I will be made whole. Wash me white as snow, and I will be made whole. Wash me white as snow. Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me clean heart, oh God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. And wash me white as snow, and I will be made whole. Wash me white as snow, and I will be made whole. Wash me white as snow, and I will be made whole. Wash me white as snow. White as snow.
Ever force us. He does not ever force us. He just opens the way and he offers us everything. The rich young ruler, all the people Jesus ministered to, if they want to go another way, they can. Today, if you don't want your heart soft, you don't have to have it soft. Everything that Jesus offers us, all the way through, it's all by choice. Now, some of us have come so far that it feels like he just puts us in a jar with a lid on it and says, no, you're not going to do that anymore. But for the most part, you've got to make those choices yourself. You have to make those choices. But the main thing is to want God to do a fresh work in your heart, and to want that melted, broken, soft heart. And I thank God this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. Just be willing. There's really,